Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to your Sunday night edition of the TII podcast. My name is Craig Dennett, and I'm your host this evening on a Sunday night, which is a happy one for once. It's not something we able to say for the last few weeks, but it's a happy one for once as Rangers ran out 2-1 victors in Paisley today against St Mirren. For a long time in that game, I was not confident we were going to be on here talking about a Rangers win, but we made it in the end, and who foresaw a Cyril Dessers winner in Paisley? I'm joined tonight to discuss the game, to discuss all the goings-on about Rangers and the latest news by Tommy McIntyre. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm good, thank you. As you say, it's nice to be speaking about a victory that almost become a habit again.
It would be nice if it did become a habit again for the rest of this season. And we're also joined by Ross Chalmers. How are you doing, Ross?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It felt like those 3 points of we've just not been able to pick them up in such a long time. Realistically, it's not really been that long, but one of those games again today, which I'm sure we're going to get stuck into. It wasn't the best watch, but ultimately Rangers have got 3 points in the end, and I think at this stage of the season, that's all that really matters, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. 56 incoming there says, evening lads, that was a nerve-wracking afternoon. I think it is fair to say it was nerve-wracking. It was, I guess, what we saw, and we'll talk through a bit of a summary of the key points of the game. We'll get everyone's thoughts. Please do put your thoughts in the comments as well, and we'll bring as many as we can up on the screen as we go through the podcast. But it was a nerve-wracking afternoon. Ross, I'll start with you. Before we even get into it, though, and we'll talk about the defence as one of the starting points, I guess, but Conor Goldson wasn't in there yet again. He was on the bench. What did you make of that decision? What did you make of that call from Fluke Clement?
I think it's the right decision. I think if, you know, that call last weekend from Fluke Clement to leave Conor Goldson out was a big one. I thought Leon Balogun and John Souter last weekend were good for the most part. I think John Souter had a bit of a dodgy 20 minutes in that second half, but overall I thought they'd done well, and I don't think either of them really deserve to be dropped for this one. So I think it was the right decision. Again, Rangers have got the result today, so it's hard to argue that it wasn't. I think Conor Goldson is, let's be honest, he's had a real dip in form this season. I don't think he deserves to be an automatic first choice. I do believe he will come back into this Rangers team at some point. I think that is why John Souter continues to play on the left, because I think Conor Goldson will come back in the right. But I think overall, I thought it was the right decision today. Try and keep a settled side for another game. It's a tough game. Go away to St Mirren, but they've been tough games for us. You know, that was the third time this year we've been there. We knew it was going to be a tough game. So overall, Craig, I don't really have any problems with the decision to leave Conor Goldson out. I think it's probably deserved at this stage that he takes a bit of a rest and sits on the bench.
Yeah, I get a lot of comments saying I defend Conor Goldson in any and all circumstances on this podcast. And I'll probably come into that again when I say I think he should have been back in the starting lineup again today, especially if you're going to play Balogun and Souttar the way around it, they played them. I think John Walker talks about it a lot, where Balogun's probably better on the left side and Souttar's better on the right side, but they seem to have played the opposite of that. I always feel more confident if Conor Goldson's in the back line. Yes, he'll make two or three mistakes a season. I think any player that's playing in the Scottish Premiership is going to be liable for that, but I think I feel much more confident with him in the defence. Tommy, what did you make of the decision to leave Conor Goldson on the bench?
Well, it's born of the fact that he has had a dip in form. I mean, I don't think that's up for debate or question. So the managers looked at it and went, right, I'm going to drop him and make a big statement. I think the comment from Philippe Clement at the time was he needed the rest. Well, evidently that rest lasted two games then. We needed the rest for the cup game. Big statement. It worked. Sticks with Leon Balogun because he likes the balance and he thought he played well enough. We can get into the fact that Leon Balogun's at fault for, St Mirren's goal and stuff like that as well. But yeah, he's put down the marker and said, I'm willing to stick with this. I think it'll be interesting, not to keep kicking the can down the road, but given that Balogun was somewhat culpable for St Mirren's goal, it'll be interesting to see if Balogun retains the shot or we're back to chopping and changing. And I don't think you naturally want to be chopping and changing your centre-back pairing as you come into the last four games. And so it's a real tight question of, does he just stick with what he's got now, or will Conor Goldson come back in for the running?
Yeah, I think that'll be an interesting one, especially with the visit to Parkhead on the horizon after Kilmarnock. Next week, we know Kilmarnock are a physical team, but also pacey out wide. So it'll be interesting if that factors into the decision-making, because actually that's where, at times, we've seen, especially down the right-hand side with James Tavernier and Conor Goldson, when they're faced against pace, they've tended to struggle in the past few months. And we know that's where one of Kilmarnock's strengths are. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. I would put him back in purely from I think I'd be more confident in the Old Firm game with Conor Goldson there. And you don't want to just be throwing him in after 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not.
But what makes you say that? What makes you say that? What's the background to that? It wasn't the fact that you just want Conor Goldson attacking the team, obviously, right? But I'm interested, right, because I'm not swayed either way, if I'm being brutally honest. So I'm maybe speaking for other people who are watching and listening, but what's the differential for you? What's the uplift and the better quality that Goldson has over Balogun for you in that game?
And so I think Balogun's strengths are winning the ball in the air. I think that's Balogun's strengths over Conor Goldson. I think he's better physically. Conor Goldson used to win every single header for us. He's not been doing that this year. I don't know why. I don't know what's changed, but he's not been doing that this year. I am more confident with Conor Goldson when he's got the ball at his feet than I am with Leon Balogun with the ball at his feet. I am also more confident in Conor Goldson's positioning than I am with Leon Balogun, which I think we saw a bit today with the St Mirren goal, albeit Balogun, it's unusual for Balogun to be out-muscled like he was for that goal. That's St Mirren goal today. But I think Conor Goldson provides a more reassuring presence a lot of the time. I don't think he was doing that for the past 3 or 4 games he was in the team, and that's obviously why Philippe Clement has taken him out. But I think Conor Goldson covers for a lot of James Tavernier's defensive frailties, I guess, would be, for want of a better phrase. I don't think James Tavernier is as bad defensively as people say he is, but I think some of the positioning where James Tavernier's too high up, it exposes Conor Goldson, but Conor Goldson's qualities mean that he covers for a lot of those. He still gets caught out sometimes, but he covers for a lot of those places he's exposed. So I think that's why I think Conor Goldson, particularly against Celtic in that atmosphere at Parkhead in a must-win game, I think I'd much rather have him in the team, whether it's beside Balogun or Souttar. That's a different debate. I think I'm not sure which one I would want him beside, but I think Conor Goldson would be the mainstay in there for me. Ross, I don't know where you stand on that.
I think next week will be very, very telling, to be honest, when it comes to Conor Goldson for the rest of the season, because I don't think you're going to bring him out of the cold for a game at Parkhead, are you? So if you believe that he's the right player to play at Parkhead, you're going to bring him in next week against Kilmarnock at home to try and, settle him back into the side. I agree a lot with what you said there, and football always comes, it's all about the form of the player, right? But I think when those three centre-backs are at their top level, I think Connor Goldson is far and away the best out of the three of them. I think he's proved that over the years here. There's a lot of love for John Suter, and I really like him as a player, but I still think he's got quite a bit to go to get to where we've seen Connor Goldson, because at times we've seen Connor Goldson really, really comfortable in this league, and also in Europe as well. He's been really good. He's obviously dipped massively the last couple of months, but that can happen. And he's also played a lot of football for us over the last, whatever, 5-6 years. John Lundstrom's exactly the same. I think, you know, they're both, not to defend them, right, because I think the form that they've dropped to is just not acceptable at all. But I do think the number of minutes these guys have played has contributed to where they are at the moment. But I do believe that Connor Goldson at his best, which is something we're going to try and strive to get back this season, I do think he's better than the other two. So if Philippe Clement has belief in Connor Goldson that he can come back in, find his form again, he's got to play for me. I really do. I agree with you, Craig. I feel more settled with that back four when Connor Goldson's in it. And I just think that the distribution-wise as well with Connor Goldson, when he's on it, he is very good. You know, he has that kind of long diagonal that we make use of quite a lot, actually. And we didn't really have that today as well. And I think at times we struggled to play out, which is something we'll probably come on to. But yeah, overall for me, the manager has confidence in Connor Goldson coming back into the side. I think he's got to come back in next week.
Yeah, I also have more confidence when Borna Barisic isn't playing left-back, but that's a different topic altogether in terms of some of the comments.
Borna Barisic was fine today, Craig. Thought he was fine today.
He was fine, but is fine good enough?
Well, okay. I don't think the back four at the moment, regardless of who plays, is playing particularly well. But I think we have to be honest here and say that Borna today was, yeah, fine, pretty good. Like, I don't think he done anything really wrong. I think sometimes we're always quick to jump on Borna Barisic when he's poor, but I think you can also go the other way and say, yeah, he was actually fine, and probably shows that he can be an option for us until the end of the season. And I think it helped on that left-hand side a little bit in terms of the balance. But I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of Dushan Sterling at left-back. I just don't like it. So
I get that. We can't be at the stage where he didn't do anything wrong, so that's fine. He needs to be able to contribute to the team and to the game, and I don't think he really...
He crosses the ball for the goal.
I have to say, guys, it's absolutely brilliant that I just had to roll in one grenade of a question about Balogun and Goldson, and then I can sit back for the rest of the podcast and watch you two go back and forth on Borna Barisic.
Anyway, the Barisic comment was supposed to be a throwaway one, right? Because I was going to bring in some comments from the listeners and the watchers. So Pete Lawrence says, all this recent about Balogun being calm and composed on the ball, that's Goldson on his day. Balogun is more no-nonsense. And Cubby Cubster says, yeah, I agree, but Balogun's tackling in the 92nd minute was superb today. Made some great tackles, but also made mistakes. Balogun has a speed and pace, can score from corners given a chance. Tommy, you've listened to me and Ross. You've listened to some of the comments from the watchers. What are your views now? Are you still not swayed one way or the other?
I'm not. I mean, don't be wrong. I do actually agree with you, or Ross, I should say, in terms of on their day, Goldson is the best centre-back at the club. That shouldn't be up for debate, right, on his day. He's evidently had a dip in form, which has lasted quite a while. There's various different reasons for that, right? What I'm more interested in is who gets the jersey, because I do not like going into the last couple of games and you're chopping and changing, and Balogun has got the jersey for the last two. And then if you're going to bring Goldson and you bring him in next week, as you said, at Kilmarnock. I think some of that, and we should always think about ourselves, you don't think about the opposition, you know, initially, but it maybe depends on who we think we're going to match up against when it goes to Parkhead and stuff like that. I mean, I think Goldson up against Kyogo, Balogun up against Ida for that physicality, etc. There's maybe a question mark over who they're going to be up against, but by and large, it's about Rangers and it's about Rangers centre-back pairing. I probably do come down on the side of Goldson's had such a poor run of it, and he's been out for the last two. Stick with Balogun and Suter. But I wouldn't have any problems if Philippe Clement says, right, I'm going to give it back to Goldson against Kilmarnock, and that's the running. Like I said, my overarching concern is don't keep chopping and changing the centre-back pairing.
Yeah,
I think I managed to walk along the fence there.
You firmly sat on the fence there, Tommy. Yeah, firmly sat on the fence.
Yeah, I'm quite fast myself there.
So that was now 15 minutes on the starting lineup. So we're doing well. Just to start talking a wee bit about the game itself, Ross, defensively, we were just talking about the defence there again. We were very shaky. I thought we were about to see a James Tavernier do the exact same as he did in the Old Firm game when he tried to clear the ball instead of passing it back to Jack Butland with the easiest back pass you could ever see. He got away with it this time, which he didn't in the Old Firm game. But we just looked really shaky again for the first 10 minutes or so defensively, and we weren't keeping the ball, we weren't taking control of the game. You could probably question if we ever had, outside of maybe 15 or 20 minutes towards the end of the first half, how much control of the game we actually had. But I think defensively, it all starts from that defensive confidence, I guess, and having that solid base. And we just don't seem to have that at all at this point in time. And it puts the players on edge. It puts the fans on edge. It was not an enjoyable watch at the start of that game. I'm not sure much of it was an enjoyable watch anyway. But at the start of that game in particular, you're looking at it going, we've got six games here, including today's game, that we need to win to potentially win a treble. And I have no confidence we're going to win any of those games, which is a far cry from where we were a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I think confidence is the main thing I would pick out from that at the moment. None of the back four look confident. I would even put John Lundstrom within that as well. I don't think he looks comfortable on the ball at the moment. Seems to be rushing a lot of things. And yeah, I think what's very telling at the moment is every team we come up against can smell blood. I mean, you look at the last three games we've played, they're all games that you would argue Rangers should be relatively comfortable in. St Mirren, Dundee, Ross County, they've all went for us. Like, you look at the last couple of years, usually when you play these sides, you go away from home and usually they sit really deep in a low block and they make it difficult for you. All these teams are going, we can get right at them from the start. Like, they're just not there mentally. And I think that's the most worrying sign for me at the moment, that other teams are clearly, they've clearly identified that we don't build out from the back very well. And if you put us under that pressure, it's likely they're going to get the ball back. And I think that's the most disappointing thing for me at the moment. Because if you, like I said earlier, if you look at the last two or three years, we would have loved to go away to sides in the SPFL and for them to come out and play expansive football and press us high. Because we never seen that. And we never felt like the team got any space. But I felt today against St Mirren, we had a lot of space to play through and it just seemed to continuously break down. And it was unforced errors again. So we'd maybe beat the first line and it would get to like a Sterling or a Silva or even a Dessers at points, and St Mirren would be able to pick the ball back off us and go again. And we just weren't able to get through that press. And I think that's, it's not great to watch at the moment for us, because I would expect any Rangers side under pressure like that to be able to deal with it. And we just don't really seem capable of doing that. And I think that's why we're really struggling to build into the game. I think you mentioned it earlier. I don't feel like we have any control of games at the moment. And that's the most worrying thing for me, because Clement picked on that as one of his kind of main attributes about his side, that regardless of whether you have the ball or you're out of possession, whatever, you have control of the game. So you lose the ball, you're in a good shape to pick it up. We don't have any of that at the moment. That comes down to individuals' loss of form. But I just think structurally as well, it's not really working for us. And I think that comes down to the options we have. So yeah, overall, I agree with your assessment, Craig. I just thought, again, we really, really struggled, especially in the first half. Second half, we picked up a little bit. I have to give them a bit of credit. They looked a little bit better. But in the first half, again, we just struggled, and teams can really smell blood and they are going for us right now. But thankfully, we've been able to get through this one today and get 3 points.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yeah, Tommy,
it's why the converse of that's really important. This might have been your question, Craig, in which case you're welcome for me jumping ahead of your agenda, right? Take it as a service. But in terms of, I agree, I think teams naturally think that we could be got at somewhat and they're coming out and they're attacking and they're making it difficult for us. There's no gimmies, right? It's why, more so than ever, performances don't matter as long as you can get the result. So I will happily watch turgid football and 1-0s between now and the end of the season if it gets us the title, right? We need a little bit of a swing goal difference there, but you know what I mean? In terms of getting us over the line, it's all about teams are going to come out and after us. We're in a position whereby we've not had the greatest run at the moment, and it is just about grinding out. So we can talk about the fact that it was a fairly balanced game today, I thought, but you know, we look at some of the numbers in terms of possession and stuff like that, where we mandated that shots on target, I think there was only one difference, maybe 5 and 6 to us. But it's all about getting the 3 points. It's all about staying in that title. It's all about staying in the potential for that treble you're talking about. And that's it. It's why more so than ever, the expansive football, the nice touches, the free flowing, doesn't really matter. It's just about...
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one, because the point I was going to ask you actually, Tommy, was about, we've seen it a few times now, Ross County, Dundee, St Mirren. These teams are pressing us, and they're pressing us very well in a very organised fashion, and it's clear that's what they've been working on all week in the build up to this game. One, I think it is concerning, as Ross said, that we struggle against that press, because actually that should be when we have the space to play around teams, and that's when we should one or two passes, a wee triangle, and then off you go kind of thing. The other thing is that all three of those teams are better at pressing teams than we are, which it shouldn't be the case and wasn't the case when Philippe Clement first came in. The press that we saw from the team and the organisation and everyone going as one, that's completely disappeared. And I think that's a big part of the game that's losing us control of it. What do you think of those 2 points?
I think they're broadly correct. And there's numerous different factors you can play into that, right? So I very much doubt that Philippe Clement has sat with the tactics board in the dressing room or at Auchinhowie and went, stop pressing, lads. I mean, I definitely don't think that's the case. It may be a drop-off, it may be in fitness, it may be fatigue. Remembering we did have fitness issues at the start of the season, maybe they're catching up with us. I'm not entirely using that as any sort of excuse, by the way. But it could just be fatigue that we're not going after. It could be that we're just struggling with teams who are actually really well-organised and playing nice football. You know, we shouldn't forget there's other teams on the pitch, right? And there's no God-given right that we turn up and we get to steamroller teams. You have to earn it. And more so in the SPFL than anybody else thinks, that you actually have to go and earn it. It's not just a case of turning up. And so, yeah, we're not doing the basics, though. And you can see that there's some fracture points in terms of confidence with some players. They're not turning into space. They are not going past their man. They are not pressing effectively. They're turning inside. They're doing all the things that Philippe Clement doesn't want us to do. Playing square balls, going safe, not taking their man on. This is, again, it's a combination of lots of things, some of which you've touched on, Ross has touched on, I'm touching on, which is all of those things leading up. And then also the fact that in the dressing room, this squad, we're going, we've got a chance of the treble. Did we throw the treble away? Particularly the title, right? And so then it's just a case of Philippe Clement, try to keep the wheels on, go again, beat the team in front of you, go again, see what happens, beat the team in front of you. And all of that's in there, they're only human beings as well. It'd be strange if they didn't think about some of the games that they've chucked away, because we should be sitting in a different position with 5 extra points. But that's all of that combination. And it does lead to people forgetting to do the basics, to not track, to not force the ball, to force it too much sometimes and try and snatch at it. There's also a case that we do have some, you know, long-standing injuries and people dropping out, which means that some players have to be, you know, used a little bit more than they would have. So again, none of that is excuses. Let me be very, very clear about that, that we should have been in a better position at this point in time with points, given some of the games that we've dropped off recently. But they definitely will all be having a factor in the way that we are absolutely playing. And, you know, to wrap it up, back to the point that we covered a moment ago, teams think they can get to us. Teams think they can end the title challenge. and they want to be the team that ends the title challenge. And so that's, again, why they're coming out. They want to make their own statements.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think if I was an opposition player, I would absolutely think, let's go at them for the first 15, 20 minutes and see what we can get. And I think that's how the opposition teams are approaching it at the moment. It doesn't make it comfortable watch as a Rangers fan when you see it. You know it's coming before the game even starts. You can see it happening in the first 10 minutes and you see the impact it has on our players. I've seen a few comments in there that we're missing the stability of Ryan Jack in the team, or someone like Ryan Jack. I think that's a very fair point, albeit I think he would need to play.
I would say that's fair to a point, right? And I don't have the stats book in front of me, but whilst I agree Ryan Jack is a very good player and he does add a lot, how often has he played? So when we say we're missing his stability, it's not as if he was playing every week when we got ourselves into the title challenge position. So, I mean, whilst I probably agree with the point that's being made, it's not as if he's dropped out of the team and that's led to some of the things that we're talking about. He wasn't in
the team. I think the difference is, right, when you chuck Ryan Jack into a team that's struggling or potentially in the midfield has become more open, as we have seen it in recent weeks, Ryan Jack just provides that stability, which I think John Lundstrom was providing for quite a long period of the first few months that Fluke Quant was here. I don't know if it's the constant switching of combinations of players beside them in midfield. I don't know if it's actually the style of player that Fluke Quant's putting alongside him has meant that he's maybe a bit more isolated and he's trying to cover both fullbacks rather than just one side. I'm not entirely sure on that one, but I just feel like Ryan Jack, in moments of trouble or in moments where you need to batten down the hatches or just regain control of a match, Ryan Jack is the player that just gets you that Rosas hoist there and towards the ceiling. So you were thinking, what are your thoughts on that?
I can see that point of view when it comes to Ryan Jack. I think we're certainly missing, maybe not Ryan Jack himself, but that kind of role in the team, someone that kind of sweeps things up. And I think that maybe comes into how Rangers are playing at the moment in terms of, I don't think we are really willing to press teams high because I think we're terrified of teams just clipping it over the top of us, a lot of space to run into. And we've seen that at kind of Ross County where they were able to just play through us really, really quickly. And I think that's maybe why we've sat a wee bit deeper under Clement lately. He's trying to maybe shore things up. But ultimately, I still think you need an individual in there that's, you know, well aware of where he needs to be in certain situations. I think that's where what Ryan Jack was able to do. I think we're maybe past that point now, though, when it comes to Ryan Jack, because like I said, he's not played enough probably this year to hang our hat on a player like that. But that type of role, I think is a good point. I think we are missing that type because John Lundstrom's not really doing that right now. I think the midfield is passing John Lundstrom by every single game. Like he's just, I just don't see his influence at all. Whereas a Diamande next to him, I do feel like he's making an impact, but John Lundstrom's just really struggling. And again, comes down to the same kind of conversation we had about Cora Goals. And see if we had someone in there that could come in and we would back him to, you know, replace John Lundstrom. He would have been out of the team weeks ago. We just don't have anyone. He obviously doesn't trust Raskin. He's put a Dowell in there. He struggled. Tom Lawrence in there doesn't suit that role. You go through the whole side. We just don't have it. So unfortunately, we are where we are. We've got four games to go. This is what Clement's dealing with. It's frustrating for fans. We don't have a lot of options. And I think that is probably dictating how we're playing a little bit. But it's certainly not, I'm not seeing performances in there, and we'll probably come on to this later on, that gives me belief in this side that they can go and win the shiny things at the end of the season. And I agree with what Tommy said earlier. This time of the season, it is about grinding out results. But we've been playing like this for a long time now. You know, I would put this back to maybe the Motherwell defeat at Ibrox.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a long line. We've had results in there. Of course we have. We've won games, right? But I just don't think we've been playing well enough for the fans to look at this side and go, we've got enough in us to do this. And I just wonder if that's seeped into the players a little bit as well, which is the thing that concerns, I think, everyone involved.
Yeah, and I think the part of the concerning thing as well is that you would have probably seen Dujon Stellin in the midfield more, had you know have to play right wing and then left back in the same game. You got the likes of Nico Raskin, who's just fallen off a cliff since his injury, probably before his injury as well. Doesn't look like Philippe Clement has the confidence in him at this moment in time, which is quite surprising because it was the relationship between those two was seen as a real positive of Philippe Clement coming in, and Nico Raskin's just been nowhere to be seen for months now. He's played the odd bit here and there, but not really had anything to go at. So I think the midfield is a huge concern, but there's concerns all over the park, really. But let's go on to a positive. We scored a goal in the first half.
I'm glad you finally got to a positive there. Jeez.
We scored a goal in the first half, and it came from a set piece move, which I think is, there's not many times we can say that either. But it was a nice short corner, Borna Barisic whips in. I was going to say the Motherwell goalkeeper, the St Mirren goalkeeper was at fault. I think he was highlighted quite a bit in the analysis as well. He kind of flapped at it a little bit. Great awareness and running from Diomande to stay alive in that situation. He just about keeps it in. I think I was really worried when I saw the replay that it had actually just sneaked out the byline, but he thankfully keeps it in, and Dessers is in the right position. He doesn't get his foot in the ball, but he's in the right position to force the defender to put the ball into the back of the net. And this won't be the first time or the last time I say this on this podcast tonight about this game, but it's a real sense of relief, Ross, when that ball hit the back of the net and we went 1-0 up.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought the reaction of the players was very similar to Ross County when they scored, because it was an own goal as well. And there was a bit of confusion that day. It was kind of just, it was weird again, the celebration for the players. It was like flat. It's kind of like, oh, we scored. That's great. It's like, what's going on? You're in a title race here. I wanted to see a wee bit more emotion. But yeah, I actually thought it was a really good goal, to be fair to Rangers. I know they don't get the final touch on it. Great cross by Moran Barisic. I'm going to pick that out because he deserves it.
Yeah, I'll give him the credit there. That's fine.
Yeah, and definitely you can't. It goes without saying, right? The St Mirren goalkeeper's a bit of a howler. He's caught under the ball, but Diomande does really well, and it was something we've seen that was it Benfica away when he made that run kind of towards the back post as well. So I know it's a different goal, but you know what I mean. He crossed it in from there. So credit to him that he doesn't give up on it, because I think a lot of players would have just assumed the goalkeeper's just going to take that and that's it. But he gets there and he puts it across. And yeah, like you said, Dess was putting the pressure on the defender. And if the defender doesn't knock it into the back of net, Dess is going to do it. So yeah, look, again, a bit of a strange reaction from the players when they scored. But it was probably a good time to score for us, because I felt St Mirren were starting to kind of get a wee bit more momentum in the game. I know we're going to go on to their goal, I'm sure, but I felt it was a good time to score. I thought, okay, let's try and kick on. We've seen this at Ross County where it kind of went the other way, so I'm sure the players will address this, but I was wrong. And St Mirren came back into the game pretty quickly.
Tommy, I'm going to let you have a chance to speak on the positive side of things before Ross tries to lead us into the equaliser. I thought it was a really good time for us to score. It was a really well-worked goal. Was really good from all involved, including Cyril Dessers. And I thought it would be the boost that the team maybe needed to just then provide that base to build upon. It didn't really seem that way in the minutes afterwards, but it was a good goal for us to score.
Yeah, I mean, 32, 33 minutes in, something like that. I'm sure somebody will pick me up on exactly what minute it was. But yeah, it's a really good time to score. Although I sense that every time is a good time to score, to be brutally honest, right? But yeah, it was decent. I don't want to be a curmudgeon on the Sunday or anything like that, but I mean, it's the goalkeeper that causes it. I mean, talk about crosses and people going at the back post all day long, right? The keeper should take that, no bother. He makes a blunder, right? And then it's really good for Diomande to react because he's off the pitch to bring it back in and get it into Dessers, and Dessers is between the sticks to put the pressure on the defender. But that's completely the cause of a blunder by the goalkeeper. The two of you are saying it's a well-worked goal and all that. I pretty much no idea what you're talking about with that.
I think it's because we scored from a set piece, Tommy. We've not really seen that a lot, and regardless of how we've done it, we've managed to do it. So we're just going to grab on it.
You're just going to walk right past, right? Okay, yeah. Right, fair.
See how great our set pieces are now. Look what we've been able to do.
This one's for the live people only, right? You can edit me out in post production, right? We never had this conversation, right? It's fine. It's an amazing free kick. Corner and well worked, right? I should say. But listen, it's a great time. And we'd come over the rocky start. we touched on, and we'd actually started to take relative control of the game. So it was great to get that goal, because we've seen lots of times previously where we've been on top, we've not manifested our chances or whatever, right? And whether it's an OG or not, I don't particularly care, as long as it gets in the back of the net and it stands. And then, yeah, the positivity is there, a lot of relief, and you go, right, fine, but at least we've got it, because this was feeling like a tight game and they were up for it. And, you know, we know all of that kind of background there. You think, go on, push on, get something. Certainly don't concede within the next 5 minutes. But maybe that's a nice segue into the next part of your agenda.
It's a nice segue into that. And we've kind of touched on it anyway when we're talking about Leon Balogun and the central defensive partnership. But Leon Balogun was marking the St. Mirren striker's name's completely gone out of my head.
Mandron.
Mikael Mandron, that's the one. Yeah, the ball's whipped in. I think it's Mark O'Hara, who's repeatedly caused us problems whenever we play St. Mirren. He's a very tidy player, and he whips the ball in. Balogun is in quite a good position when the ball is at O'Hara's feet and he looks like he's about to swing it in. He then's just caught a wee bit ball watching. Mandron just moves goal side of him when the ball's in the air, nudges him, just out-muscles him, basically, and then nods a really precise finish and off the inside of the post. Jack Butland tried his best, and we'll go on to Jack Butland in a second for how he kept us in the game quite a lot today. But it was a really disappointing goal to lose, Ross, and in so many ways, I guess, the time of it, the manner of it. But it was also, it was quite a good finish as well.
Yeah, this goal really disappointed me, because I felt we had quite a few opportunities to relieve the pressure and we weren't taking them. And I think this goal comes from, I think we've tried to play into either Cantwell or Detters. I'm not sure who it was in the centre. And I think Gogic again nips in front, and he was doing that all the first half, which for me, if I'm Cyril Dess as a striker, I would just start getting my body in the way, because you're just going to win fouls. But he didn't seem to do that, and he just seemed to keep coming through him. I think that was disappointing for me, not to be too hard on Dessers at this point, but I think, again, maybe I tweeted this actually earlier, I think we've seen a lot of the really bad qualities of Cyril Dessers today, where he just can't seem to get in the game sometimes. And when you really need a little bit of relief, when you're under pressure, he doesn't seem to be able to do it. He's not really confident coming short, holding the ball and giving you time. And he doesn't really spin in behind either to give you an out ball. So that was disappointing how St Mirren were able to get the chance. Fair play to them again. They've pressed high. They've won the ball. It's a decent cross in. I'm with you. I think Balogun is pretty poor here. I think he has to do a lot better, and he's caught under the ball, and he's, yeah, like you said, I think that's a good term for it. He is kind of ball watching. What I will say is, a lot of credit to Mandro. That is a great header. You know, Cyril Dessers does the same thing for us. We're saying how good a header that was, so got to give credit on the other side. Jack Bolton's got no chance, because it's right in the inside of the post. Like, he's not saving it, so give a little bit of credit to St Mirren there in terms of they've worked the opening really well. It's a good cross, and it's a good header, but I think for us, again, it comes down to kind of game management again for me. You know, if you are under pressure and teams are pressing you high, sometimes you need to just try and buy a foul. You don't need to always try and break or a nice touch or whatever. Like, just get your body in front of the defender and win a foul and take the pressure. Just didn't do that enough today, and their goal comes from it. So, yeah, disappointing, especially when we've just managed to get ahead. But I don't think we can say we're surprised at this point the way this season's went at times, can we?
Yeah, I think it kind of felt that St Mirren were going to score at some point. Didn't necessarily expect it to be so quickly after we scored the first goal of the game, but it felt like St Mirren were going to score at some point. We were in at half-time, one each, Tommy, but that wasn't before Jack Butland made an absolutely unbelievable save just before half-time. I think it was Baldwin who'd scored the own goal earlier in the game, had a volley from inside the six-yard box, and the boy struck it well. Jack Butland's going the other way, and he just sticks out hand and manages to not only save it but scoop it over the bar to safety at the same time. That was an unbelievable save, but he'd already made two or three cracking saves as well. He made one in the first minute from that James Tavernier error that we spoke about earlier. I think the other two were actually offside once the play had played through, but Jack Butland didn't know that at that moment in time, and it was two cracking saves as well. He's been if you can talk about the save today first, just before half-time, the one that he scoops over the bar. But Jack Butland has been a phenomenal player for us this year, and he's been, if you think back to the way Alan McGregor was playing last year and how that you can always see how that game goes if last year's Alan McGregor is in goals. But Jack Butland's been indispensable for us this year.
I think that's probably the kind of boilerplate statement. He's been indispensable, which is why I fully expect he'll get player of the year at tonight's gala dinner, so to speak. The save itself is fantastic. Like you said, he is going another way. And it's the fact for me that he throws the arm up and he doesn't flap it back into the six-yard box, right, for somebody else to knock it away. And then it's one of those, well, the keeper did really well, but it still ended up in the back of the net because the defence hasn't reacted. He gets it away. It's a phenomenal save. And you're absolutely right. He'd made a couple of different saves. And whether they'd have been ruled offside or not is a different conversation. But you're absolutely right. Keeper just has to do what he needs to do. And the game's complexion would have really changed if it was half time and it was 2-1 to them, having come back from one down. The nervous system would have crept in. All those thoughts and commentary about Ross County and Philippe Clement having to, you know, get in players' faces at half time and stuff like that, and then not seeing a reaction. So yeah, but again, it's not a surprise at this point because, and we come back to it, I've said it myself on the pod, you're looking for the big players, the big leaders to have big moments. And when we say that, we always think about, you know, players up top scoring big goals, taking big chances. But you need people, when you're not playing particularly well, when you're grinding out results and you're looking to win trophies and titles and whatever, to do exceptional work. And Jack Butland's an exceptional keeper doing exceptional work in a team that's kind of struggling at the moment and certainly giving up chances more than we usually should. And then to make saves like that is just a differential. Right, and that's not we gave away a lot of chances and they were peppering it from outside or whatever. He's just right in the right place as he moves away, but he's also got the confidence and the reaction time to throw the arm up. A phenomenal goalkeeper. We're very lucky to have him. I'm sure there'll be offers in the summer that will be testing for the club. But yeah, he deserves to be lauded for a performance that absolutely helped us to engineer the 3 points out of Paisley today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I'm not going to send us down a hole here, right? And we won't comment on this. We can just let the listeners and the watchers comment on this. But CGM55 comes in and says Butland is better than McGregor ever was. We will leave that one there as we move into the second half. When can you tell by the reactions on Tommy and Ross's faces there that perhaps not agree with that statement? But that's one we could get into for a good hour in itself. If we really did. So into the second half, I still felt we were struggling to create anything, Ross, and I'll just kind of fast forward to the goal. 75 minutes, and there wasn't really much to note outside of that. We were again struggling to create many chances. It wasn't like we were peppering the goal, plenty of shots from distance, or they were just fired wide or over the bar, but nothing really troubling the goalkeeper as such. But such an important goal for us 75 minutes in. I think I had the same reaction to that goal as I did the first one, and I didn't really celebrate it. It was just an exhale, a major exhale of tension and breath from me as I sat on the couch watching that one. But it's a great ball from James Tavernier. I think it's Baldwin as well. He's a bit of a shocker of a game today. Baldwin falls into the goalkeeper, trips him up, and at least Cyril Dessers free at the back post to nod it into the empty net. And we were all joking in the group chat around, I bet Cyril Dessers done nothing today. I bet he turns up with the winner. And there he was, scoring his 20th goal of the season, 28 all in all, when you include goals and assists. It's such an important goal, and it's not the first time Cyril Dessers has done that this year, but it was just relief was my emotion. How did you feel about that goal?
I weirdly had a feeling in the second half that we were going to nick it. And I think it was just because I didn't see the same intensity from St Mirren in the second half. I actually thought they were great compared to the first, and I think it allowed us to kind of settle a little bit and start to play. Again, I don't think we were great either, but I just didn't see the same level of pressing and things with St Mirren, and they put a lot into that first half, so it's not a surprise. Again, we've said it quite a lot in this podcast, or I have anyway. I mean, Tavernier again, you know, I understand all the criticism around that game, but what a cross that is. You know, it's a great, great ball in. I know there's a little bit of confusion when it comes to the St Mirren defending, but Des is in the right place. He said it there. He always seems to... It is something I will give Sergio Des, his movement is very good. Honestly, his movement to get the ball is good. It's just sometimes that kind of end prod once he gets it isn't great. But again, I thought today that his movement was okay. He doesn't do enough, I think, when he gets the ball. But like you said, he's in the right place at the right time, and he puts it away. And yeah, maybe it wasn't relief for me. I did feel we were going to get the victory, but I certainly was very happy because I thought if it went any longer, St Mirren would grow back into the game for the next like 10 minutes before the end, and they would try and grab something because they'd managed to cling on to a one each. So I was glad for us to get it. And you know, I was really happy for Dessers again because, look, he faces a lot of criticism. I was criticising him at halftime again. I said it earlier in the podcast. I still don't think he does enough when the ball isn't getting fired into him every single time. I don't feel he influences the game enough. And I thought he kind of had that today. But ultimately, he scores a winner again. He did it the last time we were in Paisley. He scores two last week. That's 20 goals now for the season in all competitions. Can we complain? I'm not sure. This is such a... We could probably spend an hour chatting about Sergio Des himself in terms of, you know, his form this season, the goals he's got, but where do we want to go next season? Is he good enough? Like, but for what we have at the moment, he is someone that stood up under a lot of criticism, and it shows he does have the mentality. He really does, because the amount of times that he has been criticised by the support is unbelievable, really. And he's
one of these guys that just stands up and brushes it off, and he's on to the next one. Just one of these guys that just...
Absolutely.
It's incredibly admirable quality for someone in that arena, I think, to be able to do that. And it's a quality you think would be very fitting of a Rangers player that would do well, because the amount of criticism that comes for players that are even playing well from Rangers fans is quite high. So it's very impressive, I think, from that side of things. Tommy, you've been fairly certain about Cyril Dessers that if we get a decent enough offer in the summer, he'll be off-ski. I've seen quite a lot of conversation today, obviously, 28 goal contributions, 20 of them goals that he scored. People saying he maybe shouldn't be our starting number nine, but he should be part of our squad going forward. Has the moments like today change your view on that one, or do you think you might still see the back of Cyril Dessers this summer?
It doesn't change my view in any way, shape or form. And listen, all credit to the guy. And I'm a big fan of people who dust themselves off to take the criticism, keep coming back to the well and say, I'm going to show up. His movement's actually pretty decent, I think, as well. Ultimately, the conversation is much wider and much smaller. The much smaller part is, without Cyril Dessers' goals and goal contributions, we wouldn't be in the conversations that we're having with regards to coming at the back end of the season and still being with a shot, right? That's his job. He is the Rangers' number nine right now, and injuries haven't helped him with that. He's always had to be the one that's pitched in because people have dropped out. But he gets the backing. And I'm all for him firing us to the title, firing us to a treble. You know, he got two goals to put us into a cup final. He scores the winner today in a tight game to get 3 points to keep the heartbeat going, all that type of good stuff. Do I think he's the long-term quality answer at the level that we want to get to? No, I don't. I don't massively see me changing my mind about that. But hey, always open to being proven wrong. But I think if a decent enough offer comes in and you can reclaim your cash for Cyril Dessers, you take it. I think it needs to be refashioned up top. And I'd like Niels Coppen and Philippe Clement to get the chance to reshape that into what they want, as opposed to working with some legacy players. But up until the moment he leaves the club, Cyril Dessers gets my absolute backing. I want him to leave with a winner's medal around his neck for the title. I want him to leave with the treble, and I want him to be the guy that fashions the goals for that. all power to his to his jersey, and let's hope he manages to do that, and we can all part on very, very, very good terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And you spoke about it needs to be refashioned up top. It absolutely does. And Fabio Silva did absolutely nothing today again. I know Ross may not be happy with me highlighting that, but he did absolutely nothing today again and was rightly hooked at 55 minutes or whatever it was. Wolves must be looking at that £35 million investment and going, oh God, what have we done?
There's probably just that, just on that. I mean, there's no doubt there's a talent in there with Fabio Silva, right? He's obviously a talented guy and he might very well go on to have a good career, right? But the experiment of bringing him into Rangers has not worked. Right, there's been flashes and you can see his intelligence, but he's not been involved at the sharp end of getting goals, engineering assists and stuff like that as well. And it's just unfortunate. And then some of his behaviours off the ball and stuff like that just haven't really worked. I think he might have been taken out a little bit earlier and been given a rest, so to speak, if we hadn't had such a plethora of kind of injuries and stuff like that, particularly in those wide areas. It just is what it is. And again, best of luck to him, but it just definitely hasn't worked. Price tags as well, when people are coming from down south, are always a poor indicator, to your point. And I know you're not saying that that is any sort of indicator, Craig. But yeah, it just shows you the wild variation down south of people seeing somebody perform for a little while at a younger age, splashing out big cash, hoping. Right, that's their idea of a punt. You know what I mean? It's light years away from where we are. But yeah, the experiment hasn't worked. Happy for him to disprove me as well over the next four games and absolutely bang in winners left, right and centre though, and I'd be more than happy to eat my hat on that.
Yeah, I think we're all in that situation. There's a few comments saying if he could become our title running version of Kyle Lafferty this year, then we'd all be more than happy. So I think we're all on board with that one. Ross, one of the things about this title running when it's so close is that goal difference makes can goal difference and a single goal can mean the world. And that Tom Warren's chance right at the end, where Alex Gogic runs 75 yards or so and does really well from a if you're a St Mirren and you're a defender and you're thinking he's done phenomenal there, Tom Warren should be bursting the back of the net with that one to give us a comfortable win.
Yeah, look, I can definitely see both sides of that. You've picked that out there from a St Mirren perspective. It is great defending. Like, fair play to Gogic. I thought he had a decent game overall for them today and probably playing out of position. I think he's played there quite a bit this season, centre-back, but I wouldn't say he's a centre-back. And he's done well to get back and clear it off the line. But yeah, I think that really sums up Tom Lawrence at the moment. I was a big fan of Tom Lawrence originally when we brought him in. I felt when we've seen him under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst originally, I thought he looked really good. He obviously picks up that really, really bad injury. He's out for such a length of time. Came back, looked okay, but just like many of our players in the last couple of months, he's fell off a cliff really in terms of form, and probably shows where his confidence is as well, because I'm not sure he should check inside. I think he should just strike through it. He's done well to then check inside, but once you open the goal up like that, it's got to go in the back of the net, regardless of talking about a good save or a good defender, whatever. If you're in that position, I think I don't know how close he was. Let's say around the penalty spot, it might have been even closer. He has got to burst the back of the net there. And that's where that's the problem we've had this season. We're not ruthless enough in front of goal. You know, there will be times that we play games of football where you get one, two chances and you have to take them. I keep thinking back, we've just not raved, but we've given Sergio Dessa some praise. But that chance at Ross County, we didn't have a lot that day. He's got to hit the back of the net. And so it's not just one player. It's across the squad. We just haven't been ruthless enough. I want someone in that moment to seize it and go, this is my chance to kill this team off. They've given me a chance to run at goal here. They've given me space in this box. I'm not letting them away with it. I'm blasting the back of the net. And unfortunately, I think we've seen that on the other side of the city over the last couple of years. I think they've been in similar situations and they take the game away. And we just don't seem to have that in our squad at the moment. And that's really disappointing. So, yeah, Lawrence has to do better. He is one player that I'm not sure will be here next season. I think he might be one the club look to move on. And I think it might be best for all parties, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that one. I think you could see Tom Lawrence moving on. I don't think we all had high hopes when he arrived. We like him as a player, but I don't think he's contributed anywhere near enough over the last two seasons. He's been injured so many times as well that he's not really had the chance to contribute that as well. Tommy, looking at it was 2-1 win. We're always happy with the 3 points, and we move on to another week with nothing changed. Celtic had the exact same result. We had just one game less to go in the title running. 5 games to go. I'll start with the players. Do you feel like the players have the belief they can win this league title?
Well, it's an interesting question, because you could take it from one end of it, which is performances don't tell you that they do, because we're not dominating, we're not coming out and showing everything we've got. The other side of that would be, but we dig deep and we've got 3 points and we've resettled the ship after two horrendous results at the start of the split, which is really where they should have made the mark. But I think there is a level of belief, is maybe a better way to say it. It definitely will absolutely come down to game by game. And if we get a chance, we need to capitalize on it. I think you're right that we could really do with thumping somebody. Right. I think the goal difference is only 5 in it at the moment. 4 or 5 in there somewhere. Yes, I think four, it might be 5. Is it 4? Somebody can clarify. I thought it was 5, but happy to be.
I can't remember what time of the day I checked that today, so it could be it's one of the two, yeah.
I'm going to put my money on 5 then, right? Somebody can tell us in the comments, right? But not that I'm pedantic about being right, but I'm happy to be wrong. But we could really do with that to inject confidence into the fact that, right, we've absolutely reclaimed that goal difference point. And I think if we could actually do that prior to, you know, going to Parkhead, which is a really tough ask because we've got Kilmarnock, a really tough team and stuff like that as well, it would have been a big swing. But ultimately, I think game to game is what builds the belief. We need to beat Kilmarnock. It'd be nice to beat them really well. Then you go into what's going to be the real big pressure game. And then you see where we are after it. What we absolutely don't want to do is turn up for the big event, so to speak, and then fall at the next hurdle with the lesser teams, for want of a better way of putting it. And so that's it. Yeah, we just need to game by game. And I know that's not a full, it's not an insightful answer, any more than this team's belief seems pretty shaky, and the only way to build it is exactly what Philippe Clement is doing, which is arms round the shoulders, game to game. I don't throw them under the bus with Ross County. I don't throw them under the bus with Dundee. I try and stick with some players because I've got players out, which is why I need to keep going back to the well, and I can't throw them under the bus either. I'm talking about players being really important for next season, and the likes of James Tavernier and Connor Goldson. When clubs are sniffing around, maybe I want to sell them, but I'm definitely not going to say that. I'm talking about, you know, offering the offer to John Lundstrom of a contract. Maybe I want them, maybe I don't. But I want this sense of, right, people are going to be staying here. I want you to really perform for me. It's not just game for game for you. To just try and get them to be settled down, to get back to what they were doing, to beat teams. And that's exactly what Philippe Clement's trying to do. He's just trying to get them to concentrate on the one thing in front of them. And that's how you keep the confidence going. It's no more complex or simple than that. And that's pretty much speaks to the psychology of this team that I think people would recognise.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a question, Ross, about the mentality of the fans. I'm going to clear up all the confusion I'm causing with my various different numbers there. So we are 4 games left in the league title run-in. We're 5 games left for the treble run in, and we are 5 goals behind Celtic on goal difference. So hopefully that clears up that for everyone, because I was confusing myself. Never mind.
And I think that makes me 2-0 up on you. And I think that's the only important number.
Ross, it feels strange that we are potentially 5 games away from winning everything that we could win domestically. And we've just had quite a negative, I think quite is maybe quite generous. I think we've had a negative outlook on this podcast in terms of where we are and where the team are and our chances of doing that, but we are not far away at all. We are within touching distance of doing everything that you can domestically in a season. Why is the fans mentality reached that stage, do you think?
I think it's reached that stage because of where we were and where we are now. You know, the title was in our hands. We've got to remember that. You know, we can sit here and go, you know, Clement's done amazing to get us back to this point. And yeah, you can look at it right now and go, oh, we're 4 games from a title. We've got 1 game to win a Scottish Cup. But go back 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago before that Old Firm, it was all in our hands. You know, we were going into that Old Firm. You win that game, you go 4 points clear. You don't get the result. And I said this when I was on a couple of weeks ago. I think that's when the players lost belief. I think the players really felt they had to win that. And I think that's why you've seen the slump, because they've lost belief at that point. And unfortunately, I think in that moment when you want your big players to stand up and be counted and say, look, it didn't go our way, but still in our hands here, guys, let's go out and win this. They felt sorry for themselves. And that's why you've had the result against Ross County. And that's why you had the bad result against Dundee as well. I just think we've lost belief. And unfortunately, I think the fans have, when you get so close and you feel like it's in your hands, you just wanted the team to go out and make a bit of a statement. You know, we could have won that Old Firm at Ibrox and went 4 points ahead and still lost the league, right? But that is realistic. That could happen. But I just thought that was such a big moment for the club and the support, because we haven't been in that situation for a long time. And I felt it was just about seizing that moment, and we weren't able to do it. And I just think the support, unfortunately, they've just lost really the connection with a squad again, which is unfortunate. And I think that's why you're seeing, you know, a lot of negative opinions about Tavernier, Goldson, Lundstrom, and things like that. It's just completely gone. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to change. And I think Tommy made a good point here. I think they need a performance now just to change things a little bit, just to bring a wee bit of momentum. I think it would really help them going into that Old Firm at Parkhead. It's going to be a very, very difficult game for us. But see if we can go and beat Kilmarnock comfortably next weekend and actually try to get a wee bit of rhythm and momentum again. I think that'll do a lot for the support. Is it going to change everything completely? No, it's not. But I think it'll at least give the club a bit of momentum going into this game, and they'll feel like it's all back in the line again. But until that happens, unfortunately, I think this is the way the fans are going to be until the end of the season. And I think they're going to feel like this going into a Scottish Cup final as well, which is ridiculous, really, because it's a one-off game and anything can happen. But I just think the support have lost, you know, belief in these players, and I'm not sure the players have that belief either. And I know that's a very negative way to look at it, but I'm just going with the evidence I'm seeing on the park at the moment. I just don't see it.
Yeah, Tommy, I'll give you the final word on this podcast. Where do you personally stand on it? Why do you think the fan base overall have found this lull in their mentality or their relationship with this team?
Yeah, well, there's two quick things just to clarify. So one, I'm not being a hypocrite when I say performances aren't really important. It's all about the points, and then it'd be nice to get a performance. But I think it's the goal difference swing that I'm really talking about there. I take a slightly different position from Ross on that Old Firm game. I think the way it played out, that we were terrible and then managed to get the point in essentially the last minute, meant that Celtic couldn't do what they've done previously, which is turn up and take things away from us. And we were still in it, and it was still absolutely in our hands with a cushion. But that led to the team maybe going to Ross County and thinking that they'd done it, thinking that they'd already got it in the bag, and then not producing a performance there, and that dragging over into Dundee. So I actually think the opposite of Ross. I think it should have been a relatively good sell, considering where we've been historically. But we'll move on from that. I think it's all the things that you're saying, I'd be saying in the chat as well. If it wasn't for the Ross County and Dundee results, people would be eminently more positive, because not only is it completely in your hands, it's in your hands with a good bit of fat. You can have that result at Parkhead, whatever it looks like. You can maybe not perform. What we did is the first two games of the split, we chucked away our cushion and handed the initiative away, because now you're talking about it can still be done, but it involves going to Parkhead and winning and overturning a 5-goal difference as well. That's why people have went, you've chucked it away when you put yourself in absolutely the driving seat.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And we'll round off the podcast there. We didn't even get the chance to really talk about John Lundstrom and Borna Barisic reportedly signing pre-contracts with Trabzonspor, but we will get onto that in a future podcast. But thank you very much to Ross and Tommy for their views and opinions as contributors tonight. Thank you very much for all your comments. Thank you very much to everyone for listening and for watching. If you've enjoyed the content, please do like the video, please do subscribe wherever you're listening, whether that be YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you do listen to your podcast. It does help us massively. We're into another week We are heading towards Kilmarnock at Ibrox on Sunday. The pressure will be on Rangers with Celtic playing on the Saturday against Hearts at Celtic Park. So pressure will be on. Hopefully, we will have a chance to claw back some points or at least some goals on Sunday. Kyle will be back on the podcast on Wednesday as we start a build-up towards that one. But thank you very much, everyone, for watching. And until next time, goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.